We're continuing our series this morning called Homecoming, as we celebrate a homecoming to Christ, a homecoming back into the presence of God. And I would like to invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to our scripture this morning, found in Luke chapter 2, and follow along as we hear the good news of verses 15 through 20. When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." And they went quickly, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they reported what had been told about this child. And everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. And the shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. And everything happened just as they had been told. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these passages this morning, may we see your presence in our life just as we have been told. It's in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So the presents are all unwrapped. The ham and turkey and perhaps even barbecue has been consumed. Most of the new toys are put together. And the family is getting ready to head back home, if they haven't already head home. The animals are finally calming down. They're finding their spot to nap in a happy place. And it feels like perhaps Christmas is over. As the feast and the festivities are winding down, but yet the question looms. Is it over? Just as Kelly alluded to this morning, is Christmas over? Of course, in our heart of hearts, we know the real answer, the true answer. When we think about it, even our mind knows that Christmas is never truly over. And it's so much more than the fact that Christmas starts on December 25th and doesn't end until Epiphany on January 6th. Even if we take down the tree by New Year's, it's not over yet, right? No, we know that somewhere deep down inside, we still carry Christmas with us. So how do we celebrate this? How do we celebrate Christmas when it feels like there's nothing left to celebrate? I've had the privilege to travel to the Holy Land several times. And hopefully we can go again here in a couple years. And let me know if you want to go along, because it's a powerful and life-changing experience. But whenever we go, I always love going to Bethlehem. There you can attend and worship at the church or the Basilica of the Nativity, which is built on the place where Jesus was born. Now, it's important to know that anytime something significant happened in the Bible, they went and built a church there on top of it. But there are many ancient and beautiful churches. And when you go inside this church, the Church of the Nativity, you can go down into the grotto and you can touch the ground that, according to legend, is the place where Mary gave birth to Jesus. One year, I was able to celebrate there during the Eastern Orthodox Christmas in Bethlehem, in the Church of the Nativity. It was amazing and a madhouse. If you've ever been to Times Square on New Year's Eve in New York City, imagine that. But even crazier, with people from all around the world all speaking and singing and shouting carols in different languages. And then just outside of Bethlehem are the shepherd's fields. You can still go there. And today, if you go there, you will still see shepherds herding their flocks year-round. And you can get up high and you can look over and across the rolling hills and see the mountains in the background. And there's something beautifully peaceful and powerful about that place. Whether you're up high on the hill overlooking things or whether you're in one of the cavernous caves along the hillside, just knowing that this is a place where the shepherds were keeping watch when the angels came to them, proclaiming good news for all people. And it causes you, it leads you to pause. So we know the story, that on that night long ago, the shepherds were doing what they were supposed to be doing, watching, guarding, protecting, and caring for their sheep. And suddenly they have this experience with God. And then they go and they see for themselves, and it's better than they imagined. And when they visit Mary, Mary wasn't impressed that the shepherds came and saw her and her new baby. She was impressed by what they told her. The stories they shared, these were stories about the Lord. These were stories that they already knew about Jesus and who he is. From the shepherd's perspective, they went to find Mary and to confirm what the Lord had revealed to them. And when they share with her what they knew, it amazed everyone. Mary, Joseph, the rest of the family, the neighbors, even strangers coming by to check on and see what was all the commotion. And it was their words, their story, the good news that they shared that gave them all hope. It encouraged them. It helped build their faith. And you know what the shepherds did next? They stood there waiting for compliments and rewards. They hung out to eat food and drink the drinks, and they were hoping to get a little extra something or something, right? You know? No? That's not what it says? No. They came, they saw, they shared, and then they left, and they went right back to work. Except they were changed. They had a homecoming experience with God, with the Lord, and with the baby Jesus, and it changed them. And they went back to work. As they went celebrating. They were celebrating and glorifying and praising God, and they celebrated the whole way back. And when they got back to work, they go back to doing what they were doing before, except now it's not the same old, because they're different. They've been changed by their experience. They've been changed by God, and it's given them new meaning in life. It's given them new purpose in life. You know, part of our faith tradition is something called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. And it posits that we can know God through scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Yet experience isn't just any kind of experience. It's specifically life-changing experience with God. The shepherds had a life-changing experience with God. They celebrated that experience of God all the way back home. And then they celebrated it at home. And I imagine after that night, they continued to celebrate their experience with God and the presence of God with them anywhere and everywhere they went. See, they heard about Jesus. They experienced Jesus. And then they went out telling about Jesus, repeating the cycle, telling more and more people, and bringing more and more people along with them. This is how we continue to celebrate. It's how we celebrate home, and we extend this homecoming with a celebration of Jesus. This is how we make life better and make you better at life through Jesus Christ. That when we have this experience, we don't just keep it to ourselves. Instead, we become the shepherds. We humble ourselves enough to go and look for opportunities, ways, and places to share Jesus. We look for people needing the good news. And there are few servants who are more humble than shepherds. And there were few servants who worked harder than the shepherds. It was the shepherds, they knew what it meant to follow through. So are we willing to ask ourselves, are we willing to set aside enough of our pride and ego so that we can share our experience of Jesus? What has Jesus done? What is Jesus doing? What can Jesus do? What's the good news to you? What has Jesus done for you? How have you experienced the unconditional love of God? How might someone find encouragement that God cares about them, that God loves them, and God can do the same thing for them that God has done for you? How can we celebrate the homecoming experience of hope, joy, love, and peace through the incarnation of Christ? How can we share that experience? Here's the thing. You don't have to go to the Holy Land to have and share a meaningful encounter with God. You don't have to go someplace special like that to experience God and be able to share that experience. I mean, to walk where Jesus walked is awesome. Yeah. Yet God created everything. All of creation. And everywhere we go has God's fingerprints all over it. Everywhere we go, God's presence has already been there. And in fact, is still there. It's right there. Even where you are right now. Even in your home. Even in your car. Even at your work, God is there. Even in those seemingly God-forsaken places and spaces, God is still there. Sometimes we just need a little help in how we think about God being with us and how we can reach out or how we can relate to God. Maybe this will encourage you. Maybe we can draw from that classic racing movie. Perhaps you've seen it, Talladega Nights. Yeah, I think you know where I'm going with this. When Ricky Bobby prays to little baby Jesus, you know, his prayer goes something like this. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn baby Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly but still omnipotent, we'd just like to thank you. And he goes on giving specific prayer requests and thanks. And he closes out with, thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen. Maybe you can take that prayer as a cue. Or maybe you can look for your own clue of when you experience baby Jesus or adult Jesus. So that when you go back to wherever it is that you're going back to school, back to work, back to life, back to reality, back to responsibilities, that you can take that experience back with you. Because any experience with Jesus changes you, and it gives you something to celebrate. And there is someone who needs to hear what you've heard, what you've seen, and what you've experienced. It may be someone like Mary who is working and striving to be faithful to God and is needing a little encouragement. It may be someone who just prayed for God to be real and needs some sort of confirmation. It may be someone who is hurting and wondering if their problems are because they think that God is mad at them or that God hates them. And they don't know the truth that God loves them. It may be someone who has never prayed before and doesn't know anyone who prays. And they're waiting, looking for an opportunity to ask someone to pray with them. It may be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, or a familiar face, and they're longing for that spark of affirmation in God's love. And if that's you, if that's anyone here or anyone watching online, if you want to be sure of God's love, if you want to follow Jesus, then come and see me. If you're here, see me after the service. I'll be waiting right there in the back, in the narthex, by that tree back there. And if you're online, call me or message me. I would love to share this good news with you. And if you're already a follower of Jesus, if you've already sought and found him, then you are that shepherd. God has given you good news to celebrate and to share. So celebrate the birth of Christ, the unconditional love of Jesus, and the grace of God, and help someone find a home in the presence of God. Amen.